This is Reginald Feltbender from the Goose Pimples, and you're listening to Juice Box, a music podcast. Sounds like a waste of time, that.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Juice Box Music Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock, and on the other line, as always, undressing this hot mess, it's Nick Moreau. What's up, Nick?
What's up, man? Just for everybody out there, I am myself fully dressed.
you got the rooster on the jacket today, it looks like.
Yeah, France, you know, the France logo.
France logo, Francophile on Easter.
Yeah.
Representing.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I wanted to bring up, I meant to tell you, we need to tell people when we're recording this, because I realized in the Jack White episode, we talked about Lucy Dacus playing tomorrow at the time it was tomorrow at Doug for Lounge. But by the time people listened to the episode, it was probably 3 or 4 days past.
Yeah, we usually do this on Sundays. So when you hear the episode, it's probably the previous Sunday, but it could be at any time. It varies week to week.
So now it's Easter Sunday.
Easter Sunday. The resurrection. It always makes me think of that Stone Roses song, I Am the Resurrection, today. I'll have to put that on later and jam out for about 9 minutes.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, how's your week been going? What's new with you?
It's been going well. Listening to a lot of music. A lot of The Voids. I also went to a couple shows that I wanted to mention. I went to go see U.S. Girls at Mississippi Studios.
U.S. Girls, we didn't get a chance to ever talk about that record on the show, but I think I'm still listening to that album a lot. I really like it.
Yeah, it's really good, and the show itself was really good. I mean, really tight. It was a sold-out show, great venue, and they brought such a great energy to Mississippi Studios. Shout out to the sax player who brought down the house with a few amazing sax solos, which I always feel like sax solos are a dangerous place because they can either be amazing or just like terrible. And in this case, it was really good. So, and then I went to go see another show on Friday in Portland at the Star Theater. We mentioned her in our top 10 album of the years as an honorable mention from me. And it was Yeji, the New York kind of soul-based, Seoul, Korea-based DJ, I'd say. And that was really fun. She has two EPs out plus a Drake remix of Passion Fruit. And that was really, really fun. And the opener, actually, Laura Lynn, I thought was really good as well.
Is she local to Portland, or is she touring on this tour?
I think she's touring on the tour. Yeah, I guess she's on the tour. I don't know. Actually, you know, I could be wrong. That's my best guess. But it was fun because it was sold out and everybody was just dancing and knew all the hits, even though there's like two, but everybody knew all the lyrics. Some lyrics are in English, some are in Korean, and people pretending like they knew Korean was great. So yeah, it was really, really fun.
That's cool. I got to go to a show this week too. And make sure you guys are following us on Instagram. We've got a lot of Instagram stories from the shows we're going to and a lot more to come. Went with a friend to see Pale Waves at the Troubadour. This is a Manchester-based pop group. They're affiliated with 1975, and the singer from that band produced their first single, so they kind of have a baked-in fan base of mostly young women that is already really following them pretty hardcore. They don't even have an album out yet. But that was a really, really great show. Like, every song sounded like a hit, sold out, very pumped up crowd. And I would really recommend catching them. I think they're touring pretty extensively in the States right now. So that'd be a really good show to see. It's a really good double bill with In Heaven, who are a band out of London, who put out a really good album late last year.
Actually related to our topic of today.
Yeah, it is true. They put out their first single on Julian Casablanca's Colt Records label.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I was hoping I'd get to see him at the show, but I guess he was too busy preparing for the Voids promotional extravaganza.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like a really good show. And Pale Waves seems like they've already made it without... They have, what, 4 songs out? 5 songs out?
I know, right? Like, some of the songs, the singer didn't even need to step up to the microphone. The crowd was covering all the work.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really, really enjoyed them. I think you're going to be hearing a lot from them in the months and years to come. I don't know when we can expect a debut album from them on Dirty Hit, but I would guess before the year's out. I don't know. They put out so many songs, and they have one EP and some singles. So I don't know if they're going to be coming up with a completely new record or what.
But that EP just released, right? Like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that just released. But most of the songs had already been released that were on the EP. Yeah. I think there was just one that was exclusive to that. What about, besides these great shows you saw this week, any other records you've been listening to?
Yeah, I've checked out, yesterday I listened to The Vaccines' new album once, Combat Sports. I have to say, like, this is my favorite of their records. I think it's the most consistent.
Yeah, this is their fourth album. They kind of hit a little bit of a lull on English Graffiti, which was their third one, and they came back really strong with this one. I really like it. I think it's up there with their debut, which is really the album that most people look to for that band.
So I really enjoyed it. I thought the songwriting was really, really good. And then another EP I've been listening to, and it was kind of because of the Yeji show, is this artist called Peggy Goo.
Peggy Goo, okay.
Yeah, I think she's a German-Korean kind of electro artist. And she has an EP called Once that I was recommended. And it's pretty good so far. I mean, it's 3 songs, but pretty fun.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah. 3 songs in and out.
Yeah. But I mean, like, to be quite honest, my whole week's been voided out by the voids.
You're living in the void.
Yeah. Which was fun.
This was an exciting week for me because I was really excited for the Voids record and also the Vaseline's. Also the Vaccines album, because I had a feeling from the early singles that it was going to be, you know, definitely an improvement off their last one. And they kind of remind me of a little punkier version of the Magic Gang in a way. And like,
yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
All the songs are like punchy. And this one just in particular doesn't really have any dull moments on it at all. Mm-hmm. Just went for a long run and listened to that album. It flew by while running.
Yeah, it is quite short.
Yeah, it's like half an hour, like a little over half an hour, which is the way I like my pop records usually, pop punk, whatever, however you want to describe them.
Yeah.
And then one of my very favorite artists, Casey Musgraves, released a new album this week, Golden Hour. It is excellent. I've been turning some people onto her who don't listen to country music at all. So I think I'm one of them.
I really like the singles, and had I had more time this week, I would have listened to the album.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a real crossover album in a way we haven't seen in a little while. I mean, I tell people like the single High Horse, just say, hey, it kind of sounds like Phoenix, and you get a lot of people to listen to it who may otherwise not be, you know, predisposed to listen to country at all.
Country Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, that it rides like a very fine line. And I think she has a lot of credibility in Nashville, but she's opening up Harry Styles's tour, like arena tour. So I think she has her sights set on pop stardom.
Yeah.
Beyond Nashville.
Seems clear.
And I think it's a nice combination of, like, you know, most of the fun that happens in country music is with the music is usually pretty bad.
Yeah.
And the country that lately, a lot of the country that is really good is also pretty like serious and traditionalist. So this is a nice, it's a really, really fun, breezy album. It actually has some really emotional moments on it. And I'm going to be spending this all year long for sure.
Hunter, why don't you talk a little bit about what you're doing next weekend?
Oh, next weekend. Yeah. Well, we were lucky enough to get invited to attend the Emergent Impact Festival in Las Vegas. This is a music conference / festival that's put on by Noisy, which is the music division of Vice. So I was chosen to represent Juicebox at this event. We're going to be going to seminars and shows all day for the 3-day weekend in Las Vegas. Really cool lineup. There's groups like Waxahachie, Lower Dens, Starcrawler, Twin Shadow, and Rye, who we reviewed a few weeks ago, is going to be performing. OK Go is going to be performing a live set while their groundbreaking music videos play in the background. And a lot of different speakers and just kind of music business. But at least definitely check out our Instagram. We'll have lots of coverage on it on there. And this is the first event, the first Emergent Impact Festival ever. So it should be a really interesting thing. And, you know, it's going to be in Las Vegas. So who knows what's going to happen.
Awesome. Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So let's get into this record. Last week we talked about Jack White and his new album, Boarding House Reach. Have you been keeping up with that one this week? You put that on a few more times?
No. No. If anybody's really, if you've listened to our last review, I have not spent another second with the album.
You're not like putting it back on and on till it clicks?
No, you know, I was thinking about that earlier. I think it was yesterday. I was like, I think, you know, a lot of people talk about this golden era of television, right? We're in this golden era where there's a lot of really good shows. And it's almost like if you're not really, really good, you can't cut through. Whereas in the past, you would have been a hit show. And there's a lot of good shows that get overlooked. And I think in today's music, at least in 2018, my problem is that I don't have the patience to wait until it clicks that much. And sometimes some albums click after the fourth listen, but like if it's going to take me 20 listens for Boarding House Reach to click, I'm not doing it.
Imagine playing it 20 times in a row and then just being like, damn, it still hasn't clicked.
Yeah. So I don't want to take that risk because I don't think it will.
Yeah. I've almost given up on TV because there's just, I can't even keep up with the amount of television out there. It has to be something really, really high quality for me to invest time in. Yeah. So similarly, we've got this new record from Julian Casablanca and The Voids called Virtue. This is just called The Voids. Yeah, yeah. He dropped the Julian Casablancas from their name. This would be their second album as some version of The Voids, right?
Yeah.
It's called Virtue. I think in some ways it may have some similarities with Boarding House Reach in terms of these two rock stars taking on a more challenging experimental direction. Although he's been doing this now for two records. Did it click with you any more than Jack White's album did?
Oh yeah. Much more. That album clicked way. I mean, it's much more immediate and it actually made a lot more sense. It didn't click immediately. Like I didn't love it immediately. I'm not quite sure I love it, but I've come to grips with some of the songs I didn't particularly like on the first listen, and now I quite like them. I think it's really interesting. I know it's not done on purpose, but Jack White and Julian Casablancas release an album within a week of each other, and you know they're kind of from the same era, sometimes sharing the same stage. So I find and like the similarities. You're right, like. I mean, we can go into more detail when we get more in depth with it, but there's a lot of similarities in the album. I just think the songs are better on this album.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. And it's, you know, I was in the camp with you with Boarding House Reach where I was like, oh man, is this like, maybe this will click sometime. Or, you know, I was more positive on that record than you were because I just liked the experimentation and the risks he was taking instead of just releasing another kind of blues record that wasn't that interesting to me, like Lazaretto. And in this case, I listened to it once and didn't really feel any type of way about any of the songs except for the ones that I had heard previously. But on the second and third listen, this one, it really started to come alive for me for sure.
Yeah. I think, you know, I can't stop comparing both artists when I think about this album because of the timing of the releases. But, you know, I think that one of the big differences is, to me, Jack White releases his album and his tour is pretty big venues. It still feels pretty commercial as far as like a commercial enterprise. And it feels to me that this Voids album and the previous one for Julian Casablancas is more so, he just doesn't really care. And he plays, they'll play smaller venues. Obviously they can sell out a medium sized venue just because of his name. But I think it feels pretty liberated on this album. And I almost wonder if, and now I'm going to speculative Strokes territories, that the Strokes maybe didn't want to go the direction he wanted to. And this is why he feels like he needs to do this. What do you think?
Well, whenever I read about the Strokes, it seems like there is, I mean, Julian's obviously the leader of that band, right? And he wrote all of the songs that people consider classics. Mm-hmm. But I think there has been a big, all over the years, been a lot of power struggle in that group. And now he's opened up some of the songwriting to other members of the band in order to just kind of keep it going as a commercial entity that can headline festivals and play shows. And people love the Strokes and are always going to want to see them play. And I'm sure they like, you know, playing those shows as well. Mm-hmm. But it definitely seems like his interests lie mostly with these Voids. And we should talk about them, what this album really sounds like, because if you're not really familiar with any of his work beyond the Strokes, you might not be prepared for the sounds on this record. It's all over the place. And I think that's why we can't stop thinking of Boarding House Reach, which we talked about last week, which was similarly musically all over the place.
Yeah.
There is like new metal sounds on this album, although he doesn't, thankfully doesn't rap like Jack White.
He very much stays within what we're used with, you know, kind of his delivery on songs.
Yeah, he does. He gets a higher range quite a bit in this one.
Yeah.
He's got kind of a lovely falsetto that I like a lot when he uses.
I totally agree. I think he kind of did that on Come Down Machine a little bit, I feel. Mm-hmm. And I completely agree. Like, his falsetto is, like, his voice has never been traditionally good, but his falsetto is kind of endearing. I really like it as well.
Yeah, I mean, just to talk about his singing on this record a little bit, to me, it's probably his best vocal album ever.
Yeah.
I really like what he's doing with his voice on a lot of these songs, which sometimes include almost like Middle Eastern sounding chanting on that song, Curious.
Yeah, but did he do... So I wanted to talk about Tyranny as well.
We can talk about Tyranny. I have very little to say about that album. Okay. I was not really able to even make it through it. And besides Human Sadness, and it makes... After this album, I kind of want to go back and check it out a little more.
Oh, you should. You know, it's funny because I feel like this podcast episode is going to be all over the place like the album. But I listened to a lot of Tyranny this week because I realized that I hadn't spent much time apart from Human Sadness in the first half of the album when it released. And so I listened to it a bunch of times this week and then would listen to Virtue. And I'm curious to see what you think, because at first, so this is my week. I listened to Virtue for the first time. I listened to Tyranny again. I like Tyranny better. I listened to Virtue again. I listened to Tyranny again. I like Tyranny better. And the reason was that the album was more cohesive. It wasn't all over the place. It was just like, it was easier to grasp. However, mm-hmm. as the week went on, I found myself only wanting to listen to Virtue if I had to put a Voids album on. But that being said, I think that there's a few songs on Tyranny that are amazing, and Human Sadness alone is worth the purchase of that record, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that song is kind of becoming canonized, especially with his fans, and a lot of people consider it maybe the best song he's ever written.
Yeah. So anyway, Tyranny brackets over.
Yeah. So I have to go back to Tyranny for sure. I really wrote that record off, and I was definitely not excited to listen to a new Voids album. I love Phases of the Young, which was his first solo album. And mm-hmm. to me, the best album that he's ever been involved with outside of the first two Strokes records. I'm not like a Strokes obsessive, and those, the last few albums they put out, I couldn't really talk to you very much about them because I don't know those songs very well. I never really got into them, but I really like Phases of the Young. And then that Voids album came out and I was excited for it based on how much I liked his solo record, and it kind of fell flat to me and I kind of wrote it off. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to go back to it. Yeah. But you know, this one, I find it pretty like fun to listen to, and the songs are super hooky to me now that I've listened to it a ton of times. It's not pop music, it's not The Vaccines or anything like that, but it's definitely not obtuse in the way that Boarding House Reach was to me, where it just felt experimental with it for experiment's sake without actually trying to have a good song at the core of it. Mm-hmm. And I like these songs are really good.
Yeah. I would agree. Did you find it interesting that, the Voids album's first song feels like it could be a Strokes song, and then the Boarding House Reach first song feels like it could be a White Stripes song?
Yeah, I think there's, whether it is a commercial decision or whether it's kind of like an FU kind of thing as well, there's definitely some kind of logic to that.
Yeah. But it definitely sounded like Leave It In My Dreams, the first song of the Voids album, feels like it could be plugged into. I thought about Angles, that kind of Strokes era, their fourth album. Like you could just plug it into that album and it would pass the sniff test.
There's a few songs like that that are kind of reminiscent of the Strokes, I think.
I think there's a few parts of songs.
Yeah.
I think. Like a few choruses where you're like, oh, wow, this is... Yeah, this is why I love Julian.
Well, there are definitely a lot of parts to these songs in general.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we should talk about that.
I mean, there's some of them, you know, it's almost like there's almost a prog. It's like a punk prog kind of mentality where all these songs feel a lot longer to me than they are. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that because there are a lot of parts to them. Like the songs themselves are not that long, mm-hmm. For the most part. But you go from like, that first song, Leave It In My Dreams, that you're talking about, it's kind of could be a Stroke song, to Curious, which is like Middle Eastern chanting meets like, I don't know.
Auto-tuned third part of the song.
Yeah. And then you're into like Pyramid of Bones, which is a metal song, basically.
Yeah.
And a couple songs later, Alienation, which is probably my favorite song on the album, which has a great hip hop beat,
yeah,
and it's super catchy in its own way.
And then there's a couple of songs that sound like they could be from like on a Mac DeMarco album, like Salad Days or something.
Like Think Before You Drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That song kind of reminds me of the second to last song on Boarding House Reach, where he kind of does like a semi-jokey country song, and it was my favorite song on the album.
But Think Before You Drink, I found it really good.
It's a really good song. And there's also like two songs on this album sound like Radiohead to me. Just like straight up like Radiohead. My Friend the Walls.
So that's my favorite song of the album.
Of course it is. That's a Radiohead song.
Yeah, well, the chorus is a Strokes chorus.
And I was like, but
run it back. And they only play it once. And that's when a theme of this album is like the couple hits of strokiness you get, I find myself saying, please, I hope this chorus comes back again. And then sometimes they just end the song, like completely stop. Or that's it. That's all you get.
Yeah.
And he's not interested in giving you any more than that. But he's just letting you know he's still got it. So My Friend the Walls. Every time I listen to it, I was like, God damn it. Now I have to listen to the song again so I can listen to this chorus. It's really good. Another one I really, really loved was the last song on the album, I think, is
Pointlessness.
Oh, gets me.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it keeps your attention all the way through. It's a pretty long record. It's just under an hour. And like, go back to what you're saying about, you know, just that little hint of the Strokes or that little hint of the chorus. I think about Julian's, you know, when the Strokes came out and they were like in the band of the 2000s, right? And they were changing rock and bringing rock back. But in his own way, he kind of wanted to be a 90s indie band.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he would mention how Guided by Voices was his favorite band ever. And I really like this album is more Guided by Voices than anything he's ever done. It doesn't really, I mean, it's nowhere near that kind of lo-fi song fragments, guzzy sound of Guided by Voices, but the way it changes styles and, you know, gives you a hint of a super melodic, catchy chorus that doesn't repeat itself or come back around. Like you basically have a few seconds to grasp onto this amazing hook, and then you're never going to hear it again until you put the record back on.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I always get with Guided by Voices records. You're like, this is the best chorus I've ever heard. Now it's over and it never comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You're very true. Very right in that. I also think that, you know, Human Sadness was on the previous record, was 11 minutes, had like multiple parts to it, was beautiful. I think he's taken that kind of songwriting to these songs a little bit with a shorter time, but you know, songs that have five distinct parts. And I also think about, I admire this record a lot when I think about the process of writing these songs. Like it seems like for a guy that has so much success, he's thinking outside the box, in a way that I think he's wanted to take the Strokes forward for a while, but hasn't, probably because they're kind of locked into this recipe of success. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like he's liberated on this album, and I'd really like to see these songs live, because I'm really curious to see how they come together with these multiple parts and different instrumentations.
My friend, they just played three shows this week in LA. I unfortunately couldn't make it to any of them, but they're at the Masonic Lodge at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. It's a very small venue, very sold out shows. A friend went to the first show and said that Julian seemed miserable and was like having a lot of trouble with his vocal effects and things like that. And they only played about eight songs. They did come back out and close with Human Sadness. And most of the songs were off of Tyranny, not the new album Virtue. You know, sometimes you go see like a larger artist in a very small place, and you know, they treat the show kind of like a glorified rehearsal. And you're kind of like, you know, you're lucky to be here and see us in this kind of room. And he said it kind of had that sort of vibe.
They're not really playing that many shows, right? They're playing a residency in New York, just like they did in LA, and then two festivals.
Yeah. And nothing, I mean, they just did this residency here, and then they're not doing that New York residency for like 2 months.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at their set list for the other shows. They played 10 songs on the last show with Human Sadness as the encore. Now, Human Sadness is 11 minutes, so it's a long encore. Interesting, though, they open the show with Pointlessness, which is, strong song to open with. Really slow and kind of sad.
It's slow, and the lyrics are like things that, you know, I would write on my Converse when I was in middle school with a Sharpie. Which is a vibe I get a lot of the lyrics on this album, but I don't mind that at all. I just think Julian is kind of a perpetual moody teenager in a way. I noticed that the tracks are all the songs are credited to the Voids.
So who are the Voids?
Let's talk about the band a little bit.
Yeah, Who's this band this band of misfits that he's put together?
Well, this band is a evolution of the band that he was using for Phases of the Young. A couple of those members played on that tour, and also Danielle Haim was a member of that band before she and her sisters exploded with their band.
Mm-hmm.
So what I know about the band members, the drummer is also the drummer in Wolf Mother.
Hmm.
Remember them?
Yeah.
Australian like hard rock band. I think they're still together, but he plays with a lot of other groups. And then there's a guitarist, and I think he plays keyboards too, who goes by the name Beardo.
Yeah.
In the band, you probably recognize him from the photographs. He has a huge beard. Mm-hmm. He was in a band called White Star with reality TV star Cisco Adler and the son of Roy Orbison. And they were like this rich kid Malibu major label band that kind of crashed and burned. The kind of Hollywood burnout types.
I remember seeing him. There was a video of a Void show back, I think, when the 2014 album came out, Tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And at a show, they covered that Daft Punk song that Julian is on.
Yeah, they do that sometimes, Instant Touch.
Yeah, and
they have that in their live set.
I remember it being pretty bad live. And the guitar player seemed really off. But anyway, nothing against it. That was probably a fluke. They've also played a few Strokes covers. I'll Try Anything Once on that South American festival run they did in the fall. They had it in every one of their set.
Huh. Yeah, I don't think they're going to be doing anymore. I get the feeling they're not going to be playing Strokes songs on this tour at all.
No.
Oh, this is called the Six. The Six Six was the name of his Phases of the Young album, which makes me wonder if a couple of the members of his band now were part of that band, why does he act like that album doesn't exist at all?
That was a good album. I like that album.
And I think a lot of people, it was definitely, I mean, it opened my eyes to him as a talent almost more than the Strokes records did, because I kind of got to see what he could do on his own and had sort of lost interest in the Strokes a little bit. So I really like that one a lot.
And that's, yeah, no, I listened to it a couple times this week, actually. And I found, especially the first half of the album, I find really good. And it's shorter than his Voids albums.
Yeah.
Two Voids albums are about an hour and one. I think Tyranny's over an hour. But, yeah, I don't know why they don't even cover some of those songs, because they're great. I really like him. But I really like this album. I'd be really curious to see it live.
Well, who do you think, who would you recommend this album to? I mean,
I recommended it once this weekend to my friend I went to go see Yeji with. And I think, like, anybody who has an open mind to music and kind of likes everything Julian has done, not everything, but like likes Julian in general, I think you don't have to like all the Strokes albums or even his previous Voids and solo stuff. But if you like the allure and the appeal of Julian, I think you'd like this. What about you?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I think, I mean, obviously hardcore Strokes fans are going to like it because they're the ones who are buying Albert Hammond Jr. records. So hopefully they'll like this one.
Yeah.
But and I think there are a set of fans who are kind of like me, who like the Strokes, are more like a casual Strokes fan and have not, maybe didn't even hear any of Tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of those are going to be intrigued by this album. And definitely give it a few listens before you figure out how you feel about it. But it's musically, like, it's really interesting. I don't think it's great. It's not perfect, but it's really strong. There's a lot of really good songwriting and crazy hooks and weird sounds. And Julian's voice is stretched in a way that I don't think he's ever done before. And it's such a... I keep thinking about his voice on this album.
Yeah.
It's such a tender instrument, and it can break and stretch too far so easily. And that's kind of why it's so great, because sometimes he goes, you feel like he's going to go too far and it's just going to like sound horrible, and he dials it back just the amount. He keeps it right within that range, and nobody sounds like him. And when he's in his sweet spot.
I agree. I think you're right about the Strokes fan. I think I'm a bigger Strokes fan than you, in the sense that I think I like more of their albums than you might.
Yeah.
I did find myself, when I first listened to this album, really wishing for a Strokes album. And I think it wasn't like I didn't like the music. It was like I realized what I really want from Julian is another Strokes album. And that's why it took me like a few listens to kind of be like, actually, this is really good. And I think that a lot of Strokes fan would probably feel that way. Because, I mean, the last thing we heard was that short EP they released, Past, Present, Future. I think that was 2015, 2014.
Oh, I forgot about those. Yeah.
Yeah. They're still on sale on their website. a bunch of them are sold out, but yeah, so I think if you're a Strokes fan, just go in it with an open mind and be willing to give it a few listens. Although if you put track one, you'll be immediately like, what are they talking about? This is a great album. sounds exactly what I would like, what I would expect. But then it kind of goes into like uncharted territory, even for a Voids album. I will say like, even for compared to Tyranny, it really, really is different.
I feel like the production on it is crisper than on Tyranny, but you've been listening to that album more recently, so maybe you could tell me. But that one, my memory of it is a lot of murkiness.
Yes, this is a lot more polished, but it's also there's also a lot more different songs. Like Tyranny is a lot of the guitar tones are very similar from song to song. Whereas here, for example, my comparison to Salad Days, like, and it wasn't even necessarily a thing before you drink, but there's a couple of songs that feel like they have a slide pedal on. You can't, that were, I don't know, it's a very more polished sounding album. And even like some of the electronic hits and some of the more ambient noises that you hear in the background, which I really am curious to see how they pull this off. And I think it's going to be a difficult album to pull off live.
Well, if what I heard about their first show is any indication, it's still a little bit of a work in progress. You're right. I mean, there's a lot going on for, you know, five guys on stage to pull off in a live setting.
Do you, I know that all the songs are credited to the Voids. I have a hard time thinking that this is not Julian almost all by himself writing these songs.
I really don't know. I mean, I about their songwriting process. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to see him as being much of a collaborator from what we know. And I mean, of the Strokes, of his work in the Strokes, that was all pretty self-contained on his part.
Yeah. Or I mean, at least that the main ideas are coming from Julian.
Yeah, but they probably contribute to the music. I mean, I'm sure all of the melodies and lyrics are his.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess in that sense. Yeah.
Because it's hard to mistake his sense of melody.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, that's why I felt like that. I mean, if you listen to just his solo stuff, which I consider this kind of his solo stuff. Julian Casablancas is his solo album, Julian Casablancas in the Voids, Tyranny in this one. Yeah, there's a thread in the melodies and the songwriting that I think makes me feel like this is a much more like a lead Julian project.
Yeah, well, there must be some logic to, you know, the name change being just the Voids too, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't really know. I mean, I guess because all the songs are credited to the Voids. Yeah. Did you find the album to be political? That was something I wanted to bring up.
I think so, but yeah. I mean, I think I get that from some of the tracks. We could talk about the lyrics, but I'm not really sure what's going on lyrically. Like, it's hard for me to follow them very well on this album. It's mostly just about the sounds and melodies for me.
Yeah, and you mean that it's not because the lyrics are bad, it's that...
Yeah, no, not that they're bad.
You can't necessarily hear them, distinguish them sometimes over the sounds, right?
Yeah, and nothing, you know, nothing has... None of the lyrics are bad in the way that, you know, they take me out of the song. Mm-hmm. In the same way, nothing about them has... I mean, there's some like phrases and some kind of repeated mantras on this album that really stick with me. But like, I don't even know where a verse or a chorus or anything starts and ends on in any of these songs for the most part.
Right.
So they're kind of all like just melodic bits that go well with each other. They're not, a lot of the songs aren't structured classically. And in that sense, none of the lyrics are very straight. They're very like austere and not straightforward. And listening to like the Kacey Musgraves record and this back to back all week, like I really like, I know what she's saying in her songs, which is direct because it's country music. Mm-hmm. Here they just, they sound pretty cool, but I don't know what he's talking about. Like whether it's, I'm sure it's political based on what I've heard him say, but I don't know. Where do you get that feeling on some of them?
Yeah, because I found some parallels with what he was saying in the album and what he said in that Vulture interview. There's a clear lyric that stands out where he says it's not because something is popular that it's good, which was like, to me, was a direct correlation to that Vulture interview. I feel like that's been on his mind. When he talks about, it feels like he talks about the education system in that Thing Before You Drink song, how the teachers fed him poison and taught him about the economic and justified the economic warfare. So I felt like, you know, it kind of that interview made a lot more sense given this record to me.
Yeah, no, I think so too. I mean, it has like even, like I said, he reminds me of a really smart, moody teenager. And yeah, lyrically and politically, you know? and I can see like these lyrics being written on the bottom of your Converse.
Yeah.
But that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's part of the reason why I like it. It makes me nostalgic for a certain era of how I felt.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good place to end it. You recommend people check this out?
I really do. I think, you know, it's not my favorite album of the year by far, but I think it's one that I'll listen to a lot.
Yeah, I've been listening to it a ton this week. I have my head wrapped around it for a while, but it's a really fun listen.
Yeah, and as much of a chore as Boarding House Reach was to listen, this is, I look forward to listening. I'm like, when can I find time to play this again, you know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how, you know, how this one sticks with us and everybody for the rest of the year for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks. So the album is Virtue by The Voids with a Z. Let us know what you think. Get in touch with us. Twitter, Instagram. We got some awesome stories. Follow us for this week. I want to let everybody know, really, check out this album, Frankly, I Mutate by Patty Hanna that I talked about on the record on the podcast last week. We might have something coming up that has to do with him. So everybody should listen to that album. It's really, really good.
Agreed. Go listen.
And Nick, until next week.
All right. See you, man.
See ya. Have a good one. Yeah.